To our text this morning, Romans chapter 11 and verse 1, as we continue in our series Last Call, Romans chapter 11, verse 1. Paul writes, I ask then, did God reject his people? By no means. I am an Israelite myself, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word, and I thank you that it's true. And I pray you just teach us this morning, Lord, what about Israel with all the questions that are being asked today in your church. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. 2 weeks ago, Tucker Carlson posted that on his YouTube channel.
There is no chosen people. The chosen people are people who choose Jesus. That is the Christian message right there. It's not an anti-Semitic message, by the way. It's the Christian message. It's the core Christian message. And yet there are many self-described representatives of the Christian faith who are daily sending a different message. And we should be very clear. Whatever this is, it's not Christianity. It is heresy.
So there's no such thing as God's chosen people. The Jews aren't God's chosen people. The Jews in Israel aren't really the Jews, and those who bless Israel won't be blessed, and those who curse Israel won't be cursed. The biggest can of worms in the Church of Jesus Christ in America today, what about Israel? And all those issues that Tucker Carlson just mentioned are dividing the Church of Jesus Christ in America today like nobody's business. More and more people turning against Israel, just exactly like the Bible says would happen in these last days. And people, time is running out for us to get it right. Amen. The text we have in front of us this morning gives us the answers. We started a series last week here at Fox River, a series called Last Call, looking at all kinds of things we need to do to get right with God and serve His purposes before it's all said and done. Last week we saw that this last revival in these last days is our last chance to get our heart right about salvation. And today we see that this last revival in these last days is our last chance to get our mind right about Israel. And to see that, we turn today to Romans chapter 11 and verse 1. In this part of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is telling us how Israel became the people of God. And our text today tells us about the relationship that Israel has with God. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, our last call in these last days is to stand up for Israel with the truth of God. Our text this morning, Romans chapter 11, verse 1, tells us three things that we need to know to understand the truth about Israel, especially in these last days when it's needed the most. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to know to understand the truth about Israel is what Israel is. And that's exactly what we see here in verse 1. Because contrary to popular opinion, there really is such a place called Israel. Harper Collins, who makes the maps for kids in Palestinian schools, does not even show a country named Israel anywhere in the Middle East. Last May, the honchos at CBS News told their reporters and journalists not to refer to Israel as Jewish or to say that the city of Jerusalem is even located in the country of Israel. And why? This is what CBS said. The Jews in Israel today are not really Jewish, and Israel doesn't have the right to exist as a nation. So the Holy Land is just a twilight zone, and God's chosen people are like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They're disappearing a whole country, people. See the kind of Jew hate that we're dealing with today? Amen. Because Israel really is a land, and Israel really is a people. Amen. Psalm chapter 135, verse 4 says, of all the people on the face of the earth, God chose the descendants of Abraham, the Jewish people, to be his treasured possession forever, to be his witnesses, and to bring the Messiah into the world. But the problem was, Abraham was pushing 100, and his wife Sarah was 90. And they hadn't had a son yet to keep the promised family line going. And this is long before the days of Viagra and the little blue pill. So Sarah said to Abraham, my Egyptian maid Hagar, she's got a Tinder account. There's your baby mama. Abraham says, don't mind if I do. So Abraham and Hera hook up and they make a little boy named Ishmael. Abraham says, God, here's the son you promised me. God said, well, he's cute and I'll bless him and I'll make him into a great nation. But my promise is going to go to a son that you and Sarah have together. So Abraham and Sarah get jiggy one more time, and they make a little boy named Isaac. Genesis chapter 17, verse 19, God says, my covenant I will establish with him. Amen. so the Messiah coming into the world, and all those blessings would go to Isaac and his descendants, the Jewish people, and not to Ishmael and his descendants, the Arab people. And the Arab people who later gave birth to the religion of Islam have hated the Jewish people with a purple, prickly pear passion ever since. And folks, that's the whole history of the entire Middle East. Last September the 8th, two Palestinians opened fire and killed six Jews at a bus stop in northern Jerusalem. The hate on that the Muslim people have for the Jewish people continues to this day, going all the way back to Isaac and Ishmael. And this covenant that God has with the Jewish people is also an unconditional covenant, which means it's never going to be broken, because it doesn't depend on what Israel does for God. It only depends on what God does for Israel. No ifs, ands, or buts. And part of that covenant God made with Israel is the land of Israel that he gave to the Jewish people, Genesis 17, verse 8, as an everlasting possession forever. And forever means forever. Folks, God did not choose the Jewish people because there was anything special about them at all. Not because they were good at basketball or quantum computing or because they chewed with their mouth closed. He chose them only because he chose them. So even if they weren't your choice, they were his. And that's the only thing that matters. Do we understand what Israel really is? And I might as well start making a lot of people mad. I know there's somebody listening to this sermon right now saying, Kevin, I've got no problem with who the Jews were in the past. The problem is the Jews in Israel today aren't really Jews. And that idea comes from a book that was written back in 1978 called The 13th Tribe by a man named Arthur Koestler, who claimed that there was a pagan tribe in Turkey called the Khazars who converted to Judaism about 1,300 years ago. And they mixed with a bunch of Ashkenazi Jews, Jews living outside the nation of Israel, especially in Europe. And it was their descendants, according to him, that eventually settled the land of Israel in 1948 when Israel became a nation. So the people in Israel now aren't really Jews, they're Eastern Europeans. And Arthur Koestler claims that the DNA of the people in Israel right now is 90% European. So the Jews in Israel aren't really Jews. They don't really have any claim to the promised land at all. And if we Christians still support Israel, we're dumb and we're stupid. Well, first of all, Arthur Koestler was an atheist. And second of all, history proves that the Khazars, being Jewish, didn't last very long at all. And of course, the blood of the Jews in Israel right now isn't 100% pure, because when they came back to Israel in 1948, they came from 95 different countries of the world. But I can show you all kinds of studies that prove that the DNA of the people in Israel right now is overwhelmingly Middle Eastern Jew. Yes. The Jews in Israel today aren't the Jews of the Bible. Do you know who said that? Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who hates Israel like nobody's business. You want to be like her?
Be true.
Christians, we don't focus on that book. We focus on this book. Because over the centuries, all kinds of Gentile people have joined the nation of Israel. Heaven's sakes, Jesus even has a Canaanite prostitute named Rahab in his family tree. But it doesn't change the fact at all that the Israelites are God's chosen people. The Jewish people are God's chosen people, always have been, always will be. Do we understand what Israel really is? And Israel isn't just the people, it's also the land. Upper left-hand corner, those are the original boundaries of the original promised land that God gave to the Jewish people in Genesis chapter 15. And at no time in her history did Israel ever occupy all that territory. Israel today is only about the size of the state of New Jersey, but the Jews still had to fight like hell, four wars of survival to hang on to it. 1948, 1956, 1967, and 1973. And all this talk today about a two-state solution and a Palestinian state. Folks, the Palestinians got their own state in Israel back in 2005. It's called Gaza. And what did they do with it? They turned it into a terrorist rat hole. And in spite of that, the rest of the world again is saying, hey, let's try it again. Do we see how puny the country of Israel is in the Middle East? The little spots of red there? There's 8 billion people in the world. There's only 16 million Jews in the world. There's 500 million people in the Arab Muslim Middle East. There's only 7.5 million Jews in the country of Israel. Arab Muslim countries make up 99.75% of all the territory in the Middle East. Israel, 0.25% of the land in the Middle East. Now look at that map and you tell me who can better afford to give up land for a Palestinian state. Everybody's asking the question who the Jews really are. How about the question who the Palestinians really are? Because there has never been a country called Palestine and there has never been a people called the Palestinians. Now, 1948, there were hundreds of thousands of Arabs living in Israel, mostly Jordanian. And the day after Israel declared their independence, May 15th, 1948, all the surrounding Muslim nations told the Arabs in Israel there was going to be war. And if they didn't leave their homes, the Jews were going to kill them. And 600,000 of those Arabs believed the lie. But instead of the surrounding Muslim nations taking them into their countries, they put them in third world refugee camps, called them Palestinians to make the rest of the world think that they had so-called right to Palestine. And today there's over 5 million of them, over 8 times more than before. So this idea that Israel has constantly been committing genocide against the Palestinians is an absolute joke. Folks, before October the 7th, 22,000 Palestinians in Gaza every single day were applying to work in Israel because of better wages and better conditions. If Israel is committing genocide against them, why in the world would they want to go to Israel? And over the years, terrorist organizations like Hamas have held the Palestinians as used them as cannon fodder and terrorist attacks against Israel. Longtime Muslim leader Zahir Mushain said this, "The Palestinian people really do not exist, and the creation of a Palestinian state is only a way to continue our struggle against the Jews in Israel." So folks, if the God of Israel gave the land of Israel to the people of Israel and not to the Palestinian people, who is it that's really illegally occupying what? And the Palestinians are always in on the massive PR campaign to make Israel look bad. Last July, we started getting pictures of children in Gaza who are supposedly starving to death. There's little 11-year-old Sira Brabak, who's so skinny his little spine is sticking through his back. Poster child for how evil Israel is, right? But see, even though it was Hamas that released that picture, every media outlet in America, from CNN to the New York Times, put it front page news. See how wicked the Jewish people really are? But come to find out, that little boy was born with a pre-existing genetic condition, the stomach problem, that makes it impossible for him to eat right. So his condition has absolutely nothing to do with Israel. It's got absolutely nothing to do with the war. Because notice his mom isn't starving to death, and his little brother standing there on the right, he's not starving to death either. The little boy wasn't supposed to be in the picture. That happened accidentally on the part of Hamas. You see how they're trying to mess with your heads? Yes. Last June the 6th, 38 Palestinians were shot and killed by masked gunmen who opened fire on them when they were trying to get food at a distribution center in southern Gaza. And Hamas said the shooters were Israeli soldiers. And of course, right on cue, all the trained SEALs from CNN to the Washington Post believe everything that Hamas said and claim that Israel did it. But come to find out,
showed masked gunmen shooting into the crowd of people as they tried to collect humanitarian aid. Gazans on the ground that we spoke to claimed the violence was provoked and perpetrated by Hamas.
It wasn't Israel, it was Hamas shooting their own people, killing their own people for the sake of PR and to make Israel look bad. And you feel sorry for the Palestinians, but then you remember 80% of them support every single thing that Hamas does. And because of that, see the wall that Egypt has built along their 9-mile border with Gaza? 20 feet high, made out of steel-reinforced concrete with concertina wire at the top, sunk 60 feet below the surface of the ground so the terrorists can't tunnel under it and traffic fighters and weapons. And do you know why they built that wall? Because nobody, and I mean nobody, wants Palestinians in their country. The last 10 years, European nations have taken in over 10 million immigrants and refugees from Arab Muslim countries in the Middle East. In the last 10 years, do you know how many refugees those European countries have taken from Gaza? Zero. And why? Because everybody knows you get the Palestinians, Hamas comes with it. Because that Jew hate is embedded in their heart and in their soul. October the 7th, 2023, Hamas launched terrorist attacks against all kinds of villages and settlements in Israel, just across the border from Gaza, and murdered over 1,300 Jews. The biggest one-day slaughter of Jewish people since World War II. And people, the butchery was demonic. Jewish babies baked alive in ovens. Families tied together and burned like bundles of firewood. One mom had a 9-year-old boy who was so mutilated, the only thing she got back that was left of him, of his remains, was 3 teeth and his spleen. And how did the Palestinians react to that? Did they mourn it? Well, look what happens, what the Palestinians do when Hamas terrorists brought the bodies of some of those dead Israelis back to Gaza. Were they shocked and horrified by the brutality? Were they mourning for those Jewish people and their families? No, they were celebrating. Couldn't get enough of it. The recording you're going to hear is from a 19-year-old Palestinian guy who's using a phone that he took off a dead Jewish woman that he killed himself on October the 7th because he couldn't wait to tell his parents that he had murdered 10 Jews that day. This is part of what he says.
شوف كيف قتلت بيدي يابا ابنك قتل يهود هاي دخلوا بريتين يابا قاعد اكلمك من جوال يهودية قتلتها وقتلت جوزها 10 بيدي يابا قتلت 10 جوا قتلت 10 يا علاء 10 بيدي قاعد اكلمك من جوال يهودية 10 والله
And his parents were crying in the background, crying because they were so proud of their son, like he got a scholarship to MIT or something. My God, you talk about evil. So people, listen to me. I don't care what you think about Israel right now. These last days, you have got to cut through all the PR and all the propaganda and all the deception and all the Jew hate and remember what the Bible says. The Jews in Israel are God's chosen people. Always have been, are now, and always will be. The first thing that we need to know to understand the truth about Israel, we need to know what Israel really is. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing that we need to know to understand the truth about Israel. We not only need to know what Israel really is, we also need to know that Israel has not been replaced. And that's also what we see here in verse 1. And I know somebody's hearing this and say, well, Kevin, why should we Christians give a rip about the Jews? Because Jesus is a Jew. And all the disciples were Jews. And the Apostle Paul was a Jew. And every single word in your Bible was written by a Jew, because I believe that Luke was Jewish too. And Jesus said, John chapter 4, verse 22, salvation is of the Jews. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 15, verse 24, he was sent to save the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says the gospel is for the Jew first. So the only reason the gospel came and saved our sorry rear ends is because the Jews rejected it first. And if the Jews hadn't rejected it, we'd all be punching our ticket to hell right now. But even though the Jews rejected Jesus Christ and the gospel, notice, God never rejected them. And how do I know that? Verse 1 here, Paul says, has God rejected his people? Absolutely not. Folks, if God rejected the Jewish people, Paul himself wouldn't have been saved. Paul himself wouldn't have been a Christian. And we need to remember that, because right now there is a demonic heresy that's been around for centuries and centuries. And right now, with all the talk about Israel, it's coming back again like a bad penny. It's called replacement theology. The idea that when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, God turned his back on the Jewish people forever. And now he's replaced Israel with the church and his purposes for the world and all the plans for the last days. So Christians, according to that theory, you and I are Israel. You and I are the Jews today. But folks, that's not what Paul is saying here. It's exactly the opposite of what Paul is saying here. So the Jewish people are no more chosen than Freddy Krueger, and the nation of Israel is no more special than Outer Mongolia or the dark side of the moon. And all those hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of promises that God made to the Jewish people in the Old Testament about a promised land and about a kingdom that they would have in the last days, those are just spiritualized, whatever that means, and applied to the church, which means God lied like a dog. And Christians, let me ask you, If God lied and broke his promises to his own chosen people, what makes you think God won't lie and break his promises to you? The church is not Israel, people.
I do know that that translation or that commentary on the Bible has had massive effects on our politics that have been very, very negative and resulted in the deaths of a lot of people. So
now there's country singer John Rich, who knows next to nothing about the Bible, along with Tucker Carlson, who knows absolutely nothing about the Bible and admits it. Talking again about how the whole John Darby thing and the Scofield Bible and the idea of a rapture scared Christians in supporting Israel for years and years and years. And Tucker Carlson said that interpretation of the Bible has had massive effects on our politics that have been very, very negative and resulted in the deaths of a lot of people. And I got to tell you this morning, that is an absolute lie. Because you know what's had a negative effect on our foreign policy and caused the deaths of a lot of people? Replacement theology. Martin Luther, along with all the other reformers, was replacement theology. And because of that, he railed on the Jewish people. Over and over again, he talked about how demonic they were and how evil they were. The spawn of Satan, he said. What do you know? Adolf Hitler read every word that Martin Luther ever wrote. And even quoted Martin Luther in his book, Mein Kampf. And used him to justify the murder of 6 million Jews in World War II. People, doctrine matters. And false doctrine like replacement theology kills. God said, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 36, Israel will never, ever cease to be a nation before me, ever. Israel hasn't been replaced by anything. And I know some people are having a cow. You say, well, Kevin, Romans chapter 9, verse 6 says not all the descendants of Israel are Israel. So that means the Jews aren't really the Jews. No, that's not what that means. What Paul is saying there is that being Jewish doesn't give you an automatic ticket to heaven. Right. Do you think Jews like J.B. Pritzker and Chuck Schumer and George Soros are automatically going to heaven just because they're Jews? No. Jews have to believe in grace alone, through faith alone, on Christ alone to get to heaven just like everybody else. Amen. You say, but Kevin, most Jews, they're lost. They don't believe that. Of course not. Because Romans chapter 11, verse 25 says, right now Israel is experiencing a hardening until the full number of Gentiles has come in. When the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, God hit the pause button on the Jewish people. And he turned his attention to the Gentiles and sent the Gentiles the gospel. So today, even though individual Jews can get saved, and they do, the vast majority of them don't. But it's not because God rejected them. It's because God's got a plan to deal with it later on. You say, but Kevin, Jesus told the Jewish leaders in Matthew 21, verse 43, that their kingdom had been taken away from them. It was taken away from them, but they're going to get it back. And it started with Israel becoming a nation again. Folks, Israel becoming a nation again in 1948 was not something evil. Israel becoming a nation again in 1948 was one of the greatest miracles of all time, space, and dimension. Because Israel becoming a nation again in 1948 fulfilled all kinds of Bible prophecy and laid the foundation for everything else that's going to happen in the last days. Amen. Folks, no other people in the history of the world except the Jews ever went back to their same country 2,000 years later. The same country with their same name, speaking the same language, worshiping the same God with the same faith system. Don't tell me the founding of the nation of Israel in 1948 was something evil. And I know what people say over and over again. But Kevin, the Israel and the Jewish people, they do all kinds of wrong things. Do tell. I get 100 videos a week from people in this church and other churches saying, Kevin, look what Israel did back then. Look what the Israeli government did back then. Look at what that Jewish person did back then 200 years ago. Look at the bad things the Jews are doing now. Like I don't know that. When COVID hit, Benjamin Netanyahu, Israeli prime minister, went all Dr. Fauci. Lockdowns, masks, cot shots, boosters, you name it. He turned the entire country of Israel into a giant petri dish for the World Health Organization. The city of Tel Aviv in Israel right now is the gay capital of the world. Every single hospital in Israel does late-term partial birth abortions. In 1978, the government of Israel actually helped create the terrorist organization Hamas. Can you believe that? Because there was a bigger, stronger terrorist organization in Israel at that time. They helped create Hamas to try to have competition. So they would eat each other up and it'd be easier for Israel to control. Look at the Frankenstein that they created. Last month, Israeli Defense Force, IDF, bombed a church in Gaza and killed some Palestinians who were Christian. So does supporting Israel mean that you agree and support every single thing that the government does? Absolutely not, especially in the last days, because Isaiah chapter 28, verse 15 says, in the last days, Israel will be governed by scornful men who do not follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the Jews today, it's not that they just don't believe the gospel, they're hostile to it. 2 years ago, the Israeli government tried to ban Christian evangelism in that country. And today, when Jews in Israel do math, they don't use a plus sign that looks like this. They use a plus sign that looks like that. Just this with this. They don't use our plus sign because they say our plus sign looks too much like a Christian cross. That's how bad it is. But notice what verse 25 says. Even though the Jewish people are your enemies because of the gospel, they are still loved by God for the sake of the fathers. Notice, they're not loved because of what they do. They are loved because of who they are, because they are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that God loved. And for heaven's sakes, if bad behavior is going to disqualify the Jews, why doesn't it disqualify the church? Last October the 2nd, megapastor Robert Morris sentenced to 6 months in prison and 10 years probation for sexually molesting a 12-year-old girl when he was 21 years old. Now, Pastor Robert Morris did that. One Christian did that. So does that mean that all those other Christians have been rejected by God? No. So when a Jew does something bad, when the government of Israel does something, does that mean that all the Israeli people, all the Jewish people have been rejected by God? No. Has God rejected his people? Absolutely not. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 37, God says, I will never reject my people regardless of what they have done. Amen. Israel doesn't exist because of their goodness. They exist because of God's. I don't love the Jewish people because they're lovable. A lot of them can be very difficult, and the vast majority of them don't want anything to do with us Christians at all. But the Bible says they are God's chosen people. So I don't care what anybody else says. That's enough for me. And Christians, if God doesn't hate them, we can't hate them either. And talk about Israel doing bad things. How about Israel being behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk? Because there's all kinds of things about this investigation, all kinds of questions about what the FBI told us. How in the world did Tyler Robinson have enough time to change clothes on the roof of that building and take that rifle apart and still have time to get away? And why would Tyler Robinson put that rifle back together if he was just going to dump it in the woods? And the nanosecond Charlie Kirk was shot, why did a 73-year-old man all of a sudden the crowd jump up and say, I did it, I did it? Was there some kind of connection there? And every appearance Charlie Kirk ever made, his security team always used drones to surveil all the rooftops in the surrounding area. Why that day, the security of that university told Charlie Kirk's security team they couldn't use drones? But why would Israel have Charlie Kirk killed? Because Charlie Kirk absolutely loved Israel and even met his wife, Erica, there. And he was one of Israel's greatest defenders. But several months ago, he started asking questions. Like, where was the IDF on October the 7th? And why did it take them hours to respond to the attacks that day? And why was it taking IDF so long to clear Hamas out of Gaza? And he mentioned on his show that Jewish Jeffrey Epstein had been the head of an international blackmailing operation. And Charlie Kirk had started saying he was getting big-time pressure from rich Jewish donors because they didn't want him questioning and criticizing Israel so much.
Behavior by a lot, both privately and publicly, are pushing people like you and me away. Not like we're going to be pro Hamas, not like we're going to, but we're like, honestly, the way you are treating me is so repulsive. I have text messages, Megan, calling me an anti-Semite. I am learning biblical Hebrew and writing a book on the Shabbat. I honor the Shabbat, literally the Jewish Sabbath. I visit Israel and fight for it.
And a Jewish billionaire named Robert Shulman cut off $2 million in donations to Turning Point USA just 2 days before Charlie Kirk was killed, because he didn't want Charlie Kirk to say anything negative about Israel at all. And Robert Shulman is part of something called the Mega Group that uses everything from surveillance to sex trafficking to blackmail to violence to intimidate people and governments and corporations and media into supporting everything pro-Israel. Harrison Smith reported that days before the shooting, Charlie Kirk thought Israel would kill him if he turned against him. People said Israel killed Charlie Kirk because Mossad shoots a lot of their targets in the neck. Or Israel killed Charlie Kirk with an exploding lapel microphone instead of a rifle because IDF used exploding pagers to kill terrorists. And why was Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu the first country and first world leader to report Charlie Kirk's death? And a rabbi from Israel sent the Kirk family a condolence letter, but the letter was dated September the 2nd, 8 days before Charlie Kirk was killed. Like certain people in Israel knew ahead that it was going to happen. I could go on and on and on. Now, in the last 5 years, I have seen so many crazy things happen, things I never thought I would see in my lifetime. So if somebody today told me that pigs were flying, I'd go over to the window and take a look. But folks, none of those things, not even all of them together, prove that Israel killed Charlie Kirk. People have questions whether or not Israel was behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I got questions too. 3 months ago, Charlie Kirk wrote Benjamin Netanyahu a letter. Here's part of what he said in that letter. I am alarmed by anti-Israel and anti-Semitic trends hitting record levels on social media, since one of my greatest joys as a Christian is advocating for you and Israel and forming alliances with Jews in the fight to protect Judeo-Christian civilization. Everything written here is from a place of deep love for you and Israel and the Jewish people. The Holy Land is so important in my life, and it pains me to see support for Israel slip away. Does that sound to you like somebody who thought he had a target on his back? And why would Israel kill Charlie Kirk if he defended him so much? And why would they kill a confidant of President Donald Trump, the most pro-Israel president in the history of this country? And because Israel depends on the graces of Christians in America, why would Israel assassinate one of their heroes and risk it all? And if you wanted to take out a critic in America, a critic of Israel, how about Chuck Schumer or Ilhan Omar or AOC? And not only that, if you're going to tell me that Israel killed Charlie Kirk, where's the receipts? If Israel is really behind the assassination of Charlie Kirk, how did they do it? And you can't just give me a one-word answer like Israel or Mossad or Epstein. I need to see the connections. If Tyler Robinson really was a patsy, how did Israel arrange that? I can't say anything in a sermon that I don't know is true. Now, I say all kinds of things in sermons that some people think are absolutely nuts. But I can't tell you how much time I spend trying to verify it, because James chapter 3, verse 1, as a preacher and a teacher, I'm going to be held to higher account than you are for everything that I say. Amen. Israel killed Charlie Kirk, and listen to me, I know they could have if they wanted to. I've got to see some evidence. But then last week we saw that. A text that was sent by Charlie Kirk, and everybody closest to him verified that really was sent by him. See what it says? Leaving me no choice but to leave the pro-Israel cause. Now, would that be enough for somebody in the Israeli government to take out Charlie Kirk? Absolutely it would be. People, listen, if there anybody in Israel is associated with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, it's the crime of the century. Round them up and hang them high. But that's still doesn't change the fact that the rest of the Jewish people and the rest of the nation of Israel is chosen by God and loved by God because of the fathers. And Christians, if God hasn't rejected them, we can't reject them either. Amen. The second thing that we need to know to understand the truth about Israel is that Israel has not been replaced. We go on this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to know to understand the truth about Israel. We not only need to know what Israel really is, we not only need to know that Israel hasn't been replaced, but third, we also need to know Israel still has a future. And that's also what we see here in verse 1. Israel still has a future because the future is all about Israel in the last days. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. The angel told the disciples during the ascension, this Jesus that you saw go into heaven will come back under the same conditions. That means Jesus is coming back to the Mount of Olives outside the city of Jerusalem in the nation of Israel. Israel has a future. And we need to remember that, because there's another demonic heresy out there these days that denies all that. It's called amillennialism. Most Christians today are amillennial and replacement theology. So they don't think Israel shows up in Bible prophecy at all. And amillennials and replacement theology people don't seem to think that there's any end times events. There's no rapture. There's no great tribulation. There's no second coming. There's no battle of Armageddon. According to amillennials, one day Jesus just comes back. But to where? The country kitchen in Newark for biscuits and gravy? Amillennialism is a lie, because if there is no Israel in Bible prophecy, there's no Bible prophecy at all. Israel still has a future. But the problem is that future after the rapture ain't pretty. And we're getting a preview of what that's going to be like right now. Anti-Semitism and Jew hate sweeping all over the world. Last Friday, September the 19th, when Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu gave his speech to the United Nations General Assembly in New York City, 40% of all the ambassadors of the UN in the world got up and walked out. Then after that, 142 countries of the world voted to destroy the nation of Israel by voting to create a Palestinian state. And it was only a veto by the United States and the UN Security Council that stopped it from happening. Jews murdered in a synagogue in Manchester, England, last October the 7th on Yom Kippur, the highest day on the Jewish calendar. Jews murdered in cold blood on the streets of Washington, D.C. last May the 21st. And see how the dumbest and dimmest in America remembered the second anniversary of October 7th?
Our work is not done.
He's calling for another October 7th, another major massacre of the Jewish people. Everybody and his brother calling for genocide against Israel by shouting that stupid phrase, from the river to the sea, wanting to finish the job that Hitler started. And the Bible says the future for Israel is going to get a trillion times worse after the rapture. Because after the rapture, God turns his attention back to the Jewish people, hits the resume button, and puts them through something called the Great Tribulation, otherwise known as the time of Jacob's trouble, when God is going to pour out holy hell judgment on this world and on the Jewish people for their sin and for rejecting Jesus Christ. And the Bible says it will be so bad, it'll make the Holocaust look like a teddy bear picnic. Most Jews will take the mark of the beast and be killed by the Antichrist. World War II, Adolf Hitler killed one-third of all the Jews in the world. The Bible says during the Great Tribulation, the Antichrist will kill two-thirds of all the Jews in the world, including most of the nation of Israel as it exists right now. So all you Christians who are honked off about all the bad things that the Jewish people do and that the nation of Israel does, don't worry. They're going to get theirs in spades. They're not getting away with anything. They are going to get every single thing that's coming to them, plus some. Verse 25 says the Jews are going to keep blowing off the gospel until the fullness of Gentiles has come in, until the number of people that God has determined get saved who are supposed to be saved, which means the rapture is not going to happen until the number of people that get saved that God determines to get saved. So there's an unbeliever sitting in this church right now. For crying out loud, would you just stop being the last holdout and come to the front of this church this morning and get saved so we can all go home? Israel has a future. The Bible says that in the last days there will be a state of Palestine. There will be a Palestinian nation inside the nation of Israel. And Joel chapter 3 verse 2 says God will judge and punish all the nations for dividing up his land like that. So Revelation chapter 16 says that the Antichrist and all demon spirits will gather all the nations of the world and all their militaries to a place in Israel called the Valley of Megiddo in northern Israel, 24 miles long, 11 miles wide. A place where all kinds of major battles have been fought throughout the history of the world. And the Bible says there's one mother of all battles yet to come, the Battle of Armageddon. That's right. So the Antichrist and all the nations of the world and their military will attack the nation of Israel. And Zechariah chapter 14 says the city of Jerusalem will be captured, the city will be ransacked, and the women raped. And just when it looks like Israel can't hold on any longer, just when it looks like all hope is lost, just when it looks like everything is all said and done, he comes. Behold, I saw heaven open and a white on a right horse whose name is faithful and true. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to smite the nations. He treads the fury of the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has this name printed: the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People, Jesus is coming. Jesus Christ will come out of heaven. He will set his feet on the Mount of Olives. He'll barrel across the Kidron Valley, bust through the eastern gate into the temple like he owns the place. He will grab the devil and the Antichrist, throw him into hell for 1,000 years. The Jews will be saved. All the enemies will be destroyed. And when the smoke is all settled and it's all said and done, there will be only one king, and his name will be the only name. Don't tell me that Israel doesn't have a future. And in Romans chapter 11, verse 26, all Israel will be saved. And that doesn't mean every single last Jew who's ever lived or died. That's talking about the remnant. Romans chapter 10, verse 7. The Jews who survived the Battle of Armageddon and the Great Tribulation. Because the Great Tribulation will have purged them and purified them. So when Jesus shows up at the Battle of Armageddon, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, God will pour out on the Jewish people a spirit of repentance. And they will look upon the one whom they have pierced. And they will mourn for him as for an only son. And Zechariah chapter 13, verse 6, when they ask him, "Where did you get those wounds?" Jesus will say, "I got them in the house of a friend." There's Christians listening to the sermon right now. The reason you hate the Jews is because you don't realize God still has a plan to save them and redeem them in the end, no matter what they've done. Just like God saved and redeemed you, no matter what you've done. And the reason you don't know that is because you're spending way too much time on Facebook and not enough time in this book.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ will reign out of the city of Jerusalem over the whole wide world for 1,000 years. And every single promise that God ever made to the Jewish people about the promised land and about the coming kingdom will be fulfilled. And there will be peace because Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace, will be in the house. That's Israel's future. And because of that, you got to beware of that. Next picture. Last September the 29th, President Donald Trump rolled out his peace plan to end the war in Gaza. And last Thursday, both sides started signing it. And I'm one of the biggest Donald Trump fans in the history of the whole wide world. But I also know the Bible, so I can tell you this: that peace plan is never going to work. Because every single thing that Donald Trump proposes in that peace plan has already been tried buku times in the Middle East, and it's always failed. 19 times since 1937, there's been some kind of a peace treaty between Israel and the so-called Palestinians. Every single one of those treaties has always fallen apart. Because the Palestinians and Hamas, like their terrorist organizations, don't want peace. They just want Israel dead. So they are never, ever really going to lay down their weapons. Or if they do, it's only going to be long enough to get their fellow terrorists out of Israeli prisons, which is one of the conditions that Donald Trump has in his peace plan. Then they're just going to go right back to attacking Israel again because long live the Intifada, right? Here's just some of the 20 conditions in Trump's peace plan that won't work. Number one, Gaza will be de-radicalized, but there's no mechanism in place to enforce it. So why would Hamas ever leave Gaza? Number three, IDF withdraws from Gaza, meaning Hamas is saved from destruction and lives to fight another day. Number 16, Israel can't occupy or annex Gaza, but full annexation with Israeli military control and Jewish resettlement is the only way to stop Gaza from becoming a terror state again. And number 20 is the worst of all, because it allows for the eventual creation of a Palestinian state. President Donald Trump has always been against that, but condition number 20 in his peace plan allows it to happen. And it'll never work because the Muslims don't want a two-state solution. They want a one-state solution, a Muslim state, and no state of Israel at all. It's even worse because one of the negotiators in this peace plan is Donald Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Jared Kushner is tied to the evil empire of Bill Gates and Peter Thiel and George Soros, and he pushes big time the two-state solution. And do you know where Jared Kushner lives? I kid you not, in the 666 Fifth Avenue building in Washington, D.C. 666, the number of the Antichrist. 5 in the Bible, the number of judgment and destruction. I know President Donald Trump's peace plan isn't going to work because the Bible says the only kind of peace that's ever going to come to the Middle East is a false peace that the Antichrist is going to bring. Daniel 9:24-27 says, for God's plan to wrap everything up, there will be 70 weeks of 7 years, or 490 years. From the time Jerusalem was rebuilt till the Messiah Jesus would show up at Palm Sunday, there would be 69 sevens of years, or 483 years. So there's one seven-year time period still coming. Daniel's 70th week, the last 7 years of world history, the seven-year period of the Great Tribulation that's going to end with the second coming of Christ. And the number one feature of that seven-year period that gets the whole party started, the Antichrist confirms a covenant with Israel. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. Notice, he doesn't create it, he confirms it, which means that covenant was already in place before he ever came along. A covenant, part of which is a peace treaty, a covenant that's tied with Israel and all the surrounding nations and also the international community. Now, the Bible says that the Antichrist is going to come to power with the allegiance of 10 kings, 10 rulers, the 10 horns, who are going to give the Antichrist all their authority. And these 10 rulers, these 10 international kings or rulers, rulers of countries, are going to come from the revived old Roman Empire that stretched all the way from Europe to the Middle East. And these 10 kings, these 10 rulers, will help the Antichrist enforce his covenant and make it work, even though we know it isn't going to work. And here's where it really gets good. Part of Donald Trump's peace plan is the creation of a peace board consisting of international rulers and governors who will help him enforce the treaty and make it work. Sound familiar? And how many international rulers and heads of state does Donald Trump propose to be on his so-called board of peace? That would be 10. And how many years does Donald Trump's peace plan have to be in effect before he says it will start to work? That would be 7 years. What do you know? Exactly the same time that the Great Tribulation lasts. Yes. Now, if Donald Trump really put out a peace plan that would really bring peace between the Jews and the Muslims in the Middle East, according to the biblical definition, Donald Trump would be the Antichrist. But we know he's not. You say, but Kevin, couldn't his peace plan be a part of the covenant that the Antichrist confirms with Israel? Absolutely it could. Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, God raises up kings and he deposes kings. God put Donald Trump in office for a second term to help bring about the end times. And don't tell me he's not doing it. Because notice, President Trump calls himself the peace president. And he just came out with a peace plan that calls for a board of peace. And Donald Trump himself is going to be the chairman of the board of peace. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3 says, when they say peace and safety, destruction will come like travail upon a woman with child. Because Isaiah chapter 28, verse 14 says, Israel confirms that covenant. It will be a covenant from hell because it will send Israel into the hell of the great tribulation. Well, it's not Daniel's 70th week yet, because the Antichrist isn't here yet. But folks, there's already talks about covenants and treaties being signed. International boards vying for control. Global figures being set on board. Just exactly like the Bible says is going to happen right before the end. So what's going on right now is the dress rehearsal before the play. Amen. Because what's fulfilled partially in history is fulfilled perfectly in prophecy. And the good news is, what happens, according to God's own word, when the Antichrist confirms that covenant with Israel? Christians, it's the rapture of the church. So Luke chapter 21, verse 28, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Next picture. Over the last 5 years, COVID and the lockdowns and the disinformation campaigns and the propaganda and the deepfakes have taught us Christians to ask questions and to go after the truth. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with asking questions and going after the truth when it comes to Israel. But there is something wrong when the conclusions that you come to go contrary to God's word. the Bible says that flat out Jew hate is wrong. And it's all part of the last day's deception. That's going to be turning the entire world against the nation of Israel. And Paul says, chapter 11, verse 22 of the book of Romans, if you judge Israel too harshly, if you judge the Jewish people too harshly, you will be cut off. And I don't know exactly what that means, but it doesn't sound good. And people, in these last days, time is running out for us to get this right. Some Jewish people do some really bad things. Other Jewish people do some really evil things. The government of Israel does some really evil things. But listen, God has never given up on the Jewish people. And Christians, we can't either. Psalm 122, verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 66 says, Christians, we are called to be watchmen on the walls of Jerusalem and not be silent day or night until she prospers and the Jewish people come to know their Messiah. What is it that Christians need to do with Israel? That's the best answer I've ever heard.
They're not a perfect country. They're not a country that, honestly, we should even talk as much as we do. But we as Christians should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is unmistakable. Yeah. We as Christians should reject Jew hate. And we as Christians should find unity in one thing that we can all agree on. We should seek to bring every Jewish person on the planet to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the answer.
Couldn't have said it better. And let's pray. We're just coming to you today in these last days, and we believe, Lord, that that trumpet could sound and we could be gone any second. I pray, Lord, that we would be using our time just exactly what it says, is sharing the gospel, understanding what the truth is, realizing, Lord, that you have not rejected your people. You still have a plan for them. You still have a plan for us. I just ask and pray, Lord, that you would just use us in these last days as a congregation together, Lord, to bring as many people into your kingdom as we possibly can. And realize, Lord, that your people have not been rejected. Pray, Lord, you just help us to understand the blessing. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.